From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made on January 13th during an episode of the TV show Family Guy. The cartoon with adult themes is known for its edgy jokes, which some viewers deem offensive, many others find hilarious. The show seems to pride itself on being an equal opportunity offender with no subject or group being off limits. Well, that is about to change. In the episode that aired on the 13th, the patriarch Peter Griffin, working as President Donald Trump's press secretary, has an encounter with the president. Their personalities clash, and after a Family Guy-style 5-minute-long physical battle, Trump says to Peter, "You're Peter Griffin from Family Guy. Many children have learned their favorite Jewish, black, and gay jokes by watching your show over the years." And Peter responds, "In fairness, we've been trying to phase out the gay stuff." The show's producers say that line actually wasn't a joke. It represents a major change in the series. In an interview for TV Line, show producer Alex Salkin said, quote, "If you look at a show from 2005 or 2006 and put it side by side with a show from 2018 or 2019, they're going to have a few differences. Some of the things we felt comfortable saying and joking about back then, we now understand is not acceptable," end quote. And producer Rich Apple added, quote, "The climate is different. The culture is different, and our views are different. They've been shaped by the reality around us, so I think the show has to shift and evolve in a lot of different ways," end quote. Well, that decision has led to much debate about the politics of offense. Some applaud the decision, saying it's about time the show cut the homophobic jokes, and Family Guy is too much a straight white man's experience of comedy. Others say Family Guy is known for been known for 20 years for rocking the boat and offending just about everyone. And they say making the change will take away the show's edginess. So what do you think? This hour, we're going to talk to, well, people who have done a lot of comedy writing, performing, and otherwise in their own careers for their reactions. We'll talk about how joke philosophy changes over time. In other words, where is the line when it comes to comedy? And should that line move as people change, as cultures change? Let's welcome our guest for the hour. Mrs. Kasia Davis is back with us, a drag performer, celebrity. Well, great to have you back.
Great to be back. Thank you, darling.
It's wonderful to have you. And Darian Lake, also a drag celebrity. Darian, welcome. Thank you for
being
here.
Thank you very much. I will not sing my hello.
Oh.
I'm not that much of a ham.
I am.
Okay, yes. Mrs. Davis has no problem being a ham. Yolanda Smiles is a stand-up comedian and CEO and co-founder of the Rock Awards. Welcome back. Nice to have you here.
Hey, boo.
Also with us is Sarah Shipley, an improviser and a stand-up comedian. Sarah, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And live on the phone from Honolulu, Hawaii, is Jeff Andrews, a comedian, a performer, a teacher. What in the world time is it in Honolulu?
Oh, my goodness. It is 8 a.m. right now. Thanks for having me on.
It's 8 a.m.
Mahalo.
I'm bad at math. I thought it was like 6. Okay. Well, thank you, Jeff. And I guess I'll start, I'll start with you there, Jeff. I want to get some brief thoughts from our panel, and then we're going to play some clips from Family Guy so we know exactly what we're kind of talking about and what Family Guy may be phasing out. Jeff, when you heard them say that it wasn't just that society changed, that we as people changed as the producers of this show, and we're not going to do what they call gay jokes really anymore, how do you feel about that, Jeff?
Well, I think, you know, society's changing, but they started with a show that was monopolized on the fact that they were pushing the envelope and they were a taboo type of comedy. Rather than our normal situational comedy that usually goes at night, this comedy sort of ignores the situation and tries to go for the offensive joke or pushing the envelope, trying to take a joke farther than anyone else has taken it before. With that being said, at a certain point, you know, society changes. So what is considered taboo changes as well. So if they're no longer in that taboo category, you know, they have to find what is. So moving on to a new subject sort of makes sense.
Okay. Yolanda Smiles, what did you make of their decision?
Well, I think that their decision is up to them pretty much. I mean, I think they shouldn't take it off the board. I think they should just have integrity of how they're going to do it, because gay people like to have fun. Like, they don't mind joking and let's have some good classic, you know, classy jokes, but don't try to tear them down and things in that nature. I mean, you can have jokes about different race, culture, sexuality and things in that nature without making someone feel belittled. And I think that's where the writers need to take their, take their mind, get outside the box and don't try to downgrade the culture, but uplift it. I mean, because gay people are fun. So, I mean, you know what I mean? There's a lot of fun jokes you can do about gay people that's not going to make them feel like, well, why are you talking about me? No, because there's a lot of fun jokes you can talk about black people. I'm black. And, yeah, that's funny. But, you know, it's just all about being, it's all about having integrity of how you're going to address a certain situation and not, you know, making somebody feel belittled.
Okay. Mrs. Davis.
Hello. Well, I you know, I agree with what has been said, and I think it's a matter of being smarter and finding out some more about maybe the culture or what it is that you're, you know, looking to poke fun, and find ways that, you know, you're laughing with people. You know, there's a lot of funny things that happen in all of these, you know, black, white, gay, straight, etc. And, you know, it's funny when you see straight people trying to, you know, fit into this new thing that might be happening in the gay culture or whatever. And so I think if you find ways, like you're saying, that, right, that might be a little bit smarter, we're going to laugh together. And that's the point.
Okay. Sarah?
Yeah, I think it's interesting that, you know, of all the things that they're making fun of, they're targeting this one specific thing that they want to dull down and they want to be more respectful about. But I think Yolanda made a great point. Like, you know, life is funny. Life is weird. Life is observational. And I think the best kind of comedy is the comedy that includes people. And it's observational comedy about the world we live in. And, you know, we live in a weird, crazy place right now. And I think the best comedy is that type of comedy that points out funny things that we can all laugh about. It's not just
Absolutely.
Targeting groups that we're kind of cutting down. I think that's the point.
Okay, Darian?
I completely disagree with everybody. No, I think that, you know, there's a huge difference in telling a gay joke and telling a homophobic joke.
Right.
Both of them could get laughs, but it's depending on the audience and what they're listening to. And I think, you know, with a gay joke, for me personally, I've lived through a lot of bullying and all that stuff throughout my life, and I'm older, and I've built a tough skin. But for someone who's like a young gay, they don't really have that skin yet. So to hear a joke that's based in hate, sort of affects their...
Are you making fun of my skin?
Yeah, absolutely. Nobody's calling you young either. But, you know. So I think that's where I stand on it, is that I'm still fine with making gay jokes, just not... the ones that are rooted in hate.
Okay, so gay, not homophobic.
Right, exactly.
Okay, well, let's listen to some of what the show has done. In this first clip, Peter goes to the doctor to participate in medical experiments. Let's listen.
All right, Mr. Griffin. At this time, we're going to inject you with what we believe we've isolated as the gay gene.
I don't understand.
Well, if we're correct, we will have successfully proven that homosexuality is genetic and not a matter of choice or environment.
Are you crazy? I don't want to take a chance on being gay.
We'll give you $125.
All right, I'll do it. Hi.
So how'd the medical experiments go?
So good, Lois, so good. I'm going to squeeze right in here if my thighs will let me.
Peter, what exactly did they inject you with?
Oh, all sorts of things. Hepatitis vaccine, a couple of steroids, the gay gene, calcium, a vitamin B extract.
What did you just say?
The gay gene. I assume that's the one you meant, even though it wasn't literally the last thing I said when you said, what did you just say? It's just that clearly it was the most unusual.
Yes, that's the one I meant. Peter, are you gay?
Guilty!
Okay.
That's the gay gene episode. All right, let's listen to a clip from a long-running joke on the show is whether Stewie the baby is gay. Here's a clip of him with Brian from the show.
Look, I purchased authentic blueprints to build a Star Trek transporter.
Well, that's great, Stewie. You should get William Shatner to sign them for you.
No way. I'm getting Patrick Stewart to sign it. Picard has it all over Kirk. He's poised and measured and doesn't wear a cheap rug. Rather, he accepts even baldness with a quiet cool that says, I am in command. You are safe with me. I will cradle you in my arms through any crisis in any galaxy.
Are you queer?
Probably.
All right, Jeff, is that funny?
I'm sorry?
Did you like those jokes? Are they funny?
Yeah, well, and the thing is, I think our audience nationally is changing on this, and we see that with, you know, voting. The talk of the gay gene, you know, was never even a topic of conversation for a long time, that it's something innate. So, I mean, they are definitely trying to play exactly with what was said, you know, trying to find that line between homophobia and, you know, what's
what's funny about being gay, you know? I think they do get a bit into the caricatures of like a gay person in their head, which I think happens a lot on the show, where they, you know, play up this feminine kind of hey kind of character, as if all gay people are like that.
Some are just mask for mask, you know.
Yeah, it's right, and it, you know, I think. As the audience changes and you know, the understanding of all those groups of people becomes a little bit more apparent, I think, you know, there'll be more jokes of that, too.
Well, Darren, those two jokes, the Peter and the gay gene and Stewie and whether Stewie is gay, do they fit in the homophobic or just good gay humor line for you?
For me, I think it's just good gay humor. I don't really ever think about Stewie having a sexuality because he's a baby. And, you know, I know that there are a lot of things that I look back on when I was a child. I'm like, oh, that was probably a clue to my parents that I could have been a little different, a little queer. And definitely behaviors and stuff and things that I did and how, like, I would watch, like, pro wrestling with my brothers, but for a totally different reason. So... For that, I don't really think of that as like being homophobic. I think the whole idea of a gene, if it is genetic, that people then start thinking about like, oh, how can we stop this gene? How can we filter it out? So then it might get a little confusing. But for me, I thought it was funny.
Okay, Kasia, homophobic or funny?
I thought it was funny. And, you know, there's definitely some stereotypes there that you can hear. And certainly... I really like the second one where, you know, he didn't say, are you gay? He was, are you queer? And he was like, yes. Like, the idea
That's
of,
a really good Stewie.
Well, you know, as a kid, when I talk about myself, I say that I was a boy, girl, gal, girl, boy, fella. You know, because a fella was queer. It was sort of in between. I don't know. It was fancy, light in the loafers. So that just made me laugh. And it was not necessarily gay. It was just different. You know, I am different. And so I thought it was fun.
Okay, Yolanda, what do you make of those clips?
I think they're funny. I think it's, like I said, just doing things classy and making, uplifting the culture and not making a, here's my thing. Don't isolate anyone from feeling like, you can't have fun. You can't joke around about certain things. And my thing is, I think where they're getting so nervous about talking gay or doing gay jokes is because so many people have got caught up in, you know, saying something that it sounds homophobic or, you know, stuff like that. And it's like, no, I didn't mean it like that. No. Well, you kind of did. And it's like, no, I didn't. And you have to go into this big explanation. And then you have the, like, I'm going to use an example for myself. A year ago.
We got the delay on, right, Rob? Go ahead,
sorry.
Yolanda.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
I'm mostly kidding. Okay, we're going to be fine this hour.
No, I was going to say a year ago because the gay population had went against me with the Rock Awards because there was a statement on Facebook that said about Sodom and Gomorrah or something like that. And I was like, hey, man, I'll be quiet. I had got off social media and went back to work, but by the time I got back on work, everybody was like, hey, man, you be quiet. What does that mean? You know, and then it was this, oh, you hate gays and this thing. I was like, no. You can't take a point of a Bible and just point somebody out and says, this is what they are. And I said, that's why I'll be quiet, because you can go into all these different debates and things like that. But when I went to go explain myself, it was looking like I'm trying to cover up.
They accuse you of homophobia?
Yeah. Oh God, did they? I mean, it was like, take your head on the everybody who thought they was gay was going to be gay, changed and was going to be gay. Everybody just was at me. And it was like, no. I love gay people. My family, I have my sister's gay, my uncle's gay. Like, we embrace the culture in our family. And it was very saddening to me for those who are my gay friends didn't even stand up for me saying, no, that's not Yolanda. You know what I mean? But you can get into these different debates and people can take a little statement and make it, you know, turn around and make it wicked. And so I think what they're doing is skating to the point where there's like, I don't want to jeopardize doing anything that's going to offend the gay population and they don't support us anymore.
That's interesting. That's just the notion, and not just about humor about gay people, just humor at all, that people in comedy might feel like, well, let's be careful. Let's not risk this being misinterpreted. Let's not, you know, are things sensitive right now, Sarah, as you say them?
I think so. I think
too sensitive.
you know, it's hard for me to put a point on too sensitive or not sensitive enough, because the lens that I'm coming from is I'm a comic. I like things that are funny. I'm not going to take things too seriously. Like, if someone says something on stage or in a show that's offensive to me, like, it's a show, and I'm not going to take, you know, it doesn't change my life in the immediate, and I'm going to just kind of go on with my life. But I also have the privilege of saying that. I haven't been afraid for my life. I haven't been, you know, in a point where, you know, those things have impacted my life. So I'm kind of at a point where it doesn't affect me at a high stakes, but I can understand that some people do come from it from that lens.
Sure, and it sounds like our panel is in agreement that if Family Guy ends up getting rid of the clips like the ones we just heard, it sounds like our panel would say, that's too careful. That is not. That's
you're not being yourself.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah. I will say though, with the whole genetic thing and the gene, like if it was, I want a question for Yolanda. Is that if it was a gene to make him not gay or to make him black, and then all of a sudden he started speaking in Ebonics and sort of like terms that we sort of hear, mm-hmm. would that make you feel uncomfortable or uneasy if he was just like, yo, what, I'm not good at doing
No, you know? No, I don't think it would make me feel uncomfortable. And I think that's just the individual. Like, mm-hmm. again, it goes to who we are as individuals. And like Sarah said, like, I'm a comedian. I'm a stand-up comedian. Mm-hmm. I can take a joke. You can say whatever you want to say to me. It's like water on a duck's back. It's going to roll mm-hmm. right off of me. However, it would be funny to me. Like, oh God, he got injected with a black gene. His credit's going low. I mean, okay. See, now, boom. That right there, like, oh, all black people credit is not messed up. But stereotype, yes, it is. You know what I mean? But again, it's a funny joke that we know in our culture that people always say that our credit is bad. But again, it's not... It's all about the individual.
But Family Guy can't do that joke. Yolanda Smiles can do that joke. Family Guy creators cannot do that, right? That's kind of...
I think they can. I think people are just... I think... And again, it's like how you took a deep breath. It's when people get too... When you look too deep into a joke and it's just like... You lose the funny. Like I said, don't be distasteful. Have fun.
But I think there's also a way that we can challenge ourselves to not rely on the cliches of stereotypes that we've heard so many
Absolutely.
Times. So if we can move past it, it's like, you know, people used to think minstrel shows were funny. And then we said, no, this is offensive. Let's move past it. Find a new way to make new jokes. Or, you know, people used to say, you know, the R word when it came to mentally mm-hmm. handicapped. And, mm-hmm. and we've moved past that and we've. Trying. Do people still use it? Yeah. And when it comes to rape jokes, it's really offensive to a lot of people, especially people who have been in that situation. So it's like, if we can move past this and find a new way to find something funny, I think it's a great challenge for us, for the writers, for...
It's the and that's where the creativity comes in, I think, is fantastic.
Creativity.
Also, you know, mm-hmm. as everybody on this panel at one point does a stand-up or a show, mm-hmm. and you have an outline, and then there's this improvisation that starts to happen. Maybe you're talking with somebody in the audience or something starts to happen, and you might cross a line. And that's where it's a matter of like...
In those unscripted moments?
On those unscripted moments, mm-hmm. you know? And let's, like, in our own community, I have, as a drag queen, oftentimes we get on stage being fabulous and overly feminine, we'll pick on, say, within our own community, lesbians. You know, they're going to be the butch and the stereotypes. And that's not as acceptable as it used to be, even in the last... 10 years that I've been performing.
So have you changed how you?
So I've had to change and adjust the way that we're going to tell those jokes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know,
and even just referring to like women and their private parts. Because for us gay guys, we're like, ew, gross. But it's not gross. It's, you know, just gross to us. And some women are offended. They're like, my body parts are not gross. They're gross to you. But you know, so sometimes you'll see sour pusses in the audience, not laughing at your jokes.
Jeff, you want to jump in there too?
Yeah, especially with Family Guy and any good comedy, I mean, it's not a simple answer of we're going to draw a line in the sand and not do jokes about that. It's constantly like a ping pong action of seeing where the audience is and where they react and where they don't react. So a good comedian, and I think Family Guy does this as well, is they test out material along with material that they know is a lot safer. So they might push the gay envelope with a joke here, but they're going to pad it with some, you know, softer, easier jokes that are palpable. So I think that's also important to recognize, is that they don't beat a dead horse, you know, with a joke, especially if it's a little taboo. They will hit it and then, you know, see if the audience reacts and then come back to it in another time. I think that's key.
Well, let me go ahead and read a little bit from Daily Mail Australia, where they were kind of discussing Family Guy's changes. I'm going to do my best to read through a visual migraine, which is funny. That's funny. We can all laugh at the host today trying to read through a migraine. This is Daily Mail Australia writer Jacques Peterson. And
Are you doing an Australian accent?
I cannot. I don't do accents at all. I am the most seriously unfunny person you've met. That's actually true.
I believe it.
And thank you, Darian. Thank you, Darian. I've got this, though. I'm going to go ahead and read this. And by the way, this is partially, at least on the subject of, it's not just evaluating what Family Guy's decision is. It's who do you have working with you?
Absolutely.
Is there representation? So Daily Mail Australia writer Jacques Peterson says, he writes about pop culture and entertainment. He told the BBC that Family Guy misses the mark when it comes to comedic value altogether. He writes, "I'm gay, and I don't have any problem with Family Guy or anyone else telling gay jokes as long as they're funny. But Family Guy really isn't funny. It's just a bunch of pop culture references and random stuff thrown together. The show doesn't even push the envelope far enough to warrant a few laughs from shock value anymore." He says he disagrees with the idea that adding diverse writers to the mix would improve their gay jokes, and says a good joke is a good joke regardless of who wrote it. Whereas others disagree with Peterson, saying you got to get representation if you want to sort of truly avoid going down either making a mistake or getting boring. So let me ask all the panel. I'll start with Jeff on the phone, and we'll go all around the panel here. Which side are you on there? Jacques Peterson says, "I'm gay. You don't need gay writers to write good gay jokes, but you need to write good jokes." And he doesn't like Family Guy's jokes. Whereas some others have come back and said, "No, look at the lack of representation at a lot of writers' rooms, which has finally started to change." Where are you at on that, Jeff?
To be a comedian that actually makes some great observations, you need to be astute, and to be astute, you sort of have to be immersed in that culture. So I would say you have to diversify your writers, especially when it's a nationally syndicated television, program that has quite a few different types of people watching.
Sarah.
Yeah, I think that hits the mark. To include people, you have to have the voice of those people on your side. And I think for far too long, it's been white males making jokes about all the things that they're looking at. But to be inclusive and to be smart about it, I think having those people at the table that you're talking about is the smart move.
Okay. Kasia?
Agreed. Diversify. And I think you should add a suburban housewife drag queen to the mix as well. And always have one at the table.
Yolanda. Yolanda.
Just for the fun effect. Right.
I totally agree. I disagree. It's just basically the creativity. You need that diversity. You need to know your surroundings, your environment. You want to add that different spice, the different seasons to what you want to do. You don't want to be closed
in mind. White people don't like spice.
Yeah, just close in mind. Just don't be closed mind. Me either. I don't like spice either. But the thing is, like what Dee was saying as far as rape jokes. I do a rape joke because I was almost raped on the road. But I do it to the point where I make my audience comfortable because I have experienced it. So you have to have somebody who's experienced certain things to make those victims feel comfortable. Because another time, you may get a victim in the audience that don't feel comfortable. But if you can make them feel comfortable and feel like you don't have to hide anymore, you know what I mean? You're not the dirty one. You're not the one that was being disrespected, you know? And I make them laugh in that moment of where they felt the lowest. And it's all about creativity. It's all about being creative and pulling those juices out and not going to the stereotype of rape. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Sure.
You know, it's just like, where do you go to make that person feel comfortable again?
All right, Darian?
Yeah, having somebody on the inside who is more knowledgeable about the subject is always a benefit. And they can even give you some of the inside information that you don't even know about. I mean, it took a long time for the straight culture to know what Grindr was. And we've been making jokes about it for a long time. So
that's Grindr? Not new.
What is Grindr? Educate me, guys.
Exactly. It's a place. It's an app where you can find coffee in your city. I'm sure your husband might have it on his phone. So if that's what it looks like, yeah.
Grindr is just Tinder for gay people. Is that correct? Is that not correct?
Yeah, it's similar. Yes, okay. Exactly. Well, I don't really go on Tinder either.
Okay. This is going in a very interesting direction.
Right.
But let me at least say that when I want to ask all of you this. When I read that Family Guy was sort of making this shift, I thought a couple things. I thought, that's interesting that they're choosing gay jokes specifically when, for example, they had a show pulled on anti-Semitic grounds in which Peter sings a song called I Need a Jew because he is looking for financial help. And, you know, obviously there's stereotypes there, and he did this whole, you know, as Family Guy does, he does this whole song and dance. And so I don't know why they're going in this direction with quote unquote gay jokes in particular. But I will say, when I read that, I thought it meant we are not just going to laugh at being gay. I didn't think they were going to say we're not going to joke at all about gay culture, but the idea of, you know, this person is different, therefore that's funny. So as a white straight guy, I don't want to find myself just laughing at somebody who's different. So gay shouldn't be funny just because it's gay. Trans shouldn't be funny just because someone is trans. But if there's jokes that are more sort of nuanced, I thought that's where they were going, to be honest. And I wonder if the panel, Darren, do you agree that joking just for the sake of identity being funny because it's different, I'm sure that can be harmful. That's what worries me.
It can be harmful because there is still violence against trans people. There's still violence against gay people. You don't really hear as much about violence against Jewish people.
Oh, boy.
You know.
Yes, you do.
Well, I mean, as a sake of just be like, I'm going to kick their ass because they're Jewish. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe I'm just not in
bottom line is fear of the other leads to violence. I mean, it's still happening.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't want to laugh at the other just for the sake, oh, that's different. Therefore, that's funny. That's lesser than.
Right. And some people think that laughing at a stereotype where it's a positive thing, like, oh, Jews are great with money. How could you be mad that? But it does lead to bringing everything else up about it. And why are they good with money? You know, is it because they're cheap or something? You know, so then it starts leading to negative connotations and stuff.
Okay. Yolanda, how do you feel about that question of joking about something just because it's different?
I don't think it has any value. I mean, at the end of the day, it's just pretty much, again, you have to be a creative writer. Like, you have to be able to write and be able to connect with your audience, and you have to make everybody enjoy your show. And you have to sometimes... you have to adjust because you feel like there's some people who in the audience are a little bit uncomfortable with some things. I will not go do an all-white show and talk about EBT. That's just not what I'm going to do because it's, you know, it's like, what?
I'd love to see that.
Yeah, they're looking at me like, oh, Yolanda, come on. But, you know, there's different things that you can do to make the audience. You just have to know, as a good comedian, a good writer, you have to cater to your audience and make them feel comfortable. So I don't think just picking at someone just because, or making a joke just because, I think is just a waste of time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kasia?
I mean, it's very difficult right now. We shouldn't necessarily base a joke on somebody just because they're different. Because that is a borderline at that point of bullying, but you know, their that culture maybe, or types of things like that possibly. But I do wonder, when you first read it, one of the thoughts that came through my head was, do they want to censor it, not the gay people right now, because they're too sensitive, because too many things have been coming up with comedy and gay people? I'm not sure. One of the thoughts that first came to my mind when I read that and read everything that was to be prepped for this, I thought, I wonder if that's the point, is that maybe gay people are too sensitive right now. I don't want to go down that road for the moment. I don't know.
I don't know. And I wish we had one of the producers of Family Guy in the program to answer that. I don't know.
Right.
It's a fair question. Sarah, how do you feel about the difference between joking about a culture or just joking about an identity?
I don't know. That's such a hard place to be. I mean, I think my favorite kind of comedy is the comedy that unites people. Like, what are our common observations? How do we feel the same things even though we're different? How do we experience the same type of things throughout our day? Like that's what I find to be funny. And I really, when you read that first statement about, you know, the comedy character Trump on the show says, you know, Peter, all these people learned their favorite jokes from watching your show. And it just makes you wonder, why are they picking out the gay people of the, it's okay to continue to make black jokes and Jewish jokes out of that statement, but we're going to calm down our gay jokes. Like, it just makes you wonder what's happening, or what, did someone complain? Did someone write in? Did someone, you know, I don't understand. Is it the presidential climate? Like, what's happening that they're just deciding to highlight this one specific thing?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, Jeff Andrews, when I think back to shows like Seinfeld, Friends seemed pretty homophobic if you go back and watch. And again, not homophobic in a clever way, just homophobic, it mm-hmm. felt like. And there's a scene in Seinfeld where Elaine is on the train and she's going to a lesbian wedding. And the laugh line in that show is, I'm going to a lesbian wedding. That's in 1993. That was a laugh line. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, a lesbian wedding, huh? Whoa. And now it's like, we look back at that, we're going, what? Why is that a laugh line?
So you're going to a wedding.
Yeah. You're going to just a wedding.
Right.
Jeff, do you see an evolution past that? Is that Seinfeld joke an example of what used to be funny is, oh, this person's gay, ha, as opposed to now, you know, we're not going to do that because, number one, it's not funny, number two, it can be harmful. Or am I over sort of reading all of this, Jeff?
Well, we have changed quite a bit in terms of what pop culture is since the 90s. So I think what counts as like a valuable punchline, I don't think them just saying a wedding at that point in the 90s would have had the same punch as saying a lesbian wedding. You know, and just now, like, I still see, you know, I could see them playing with that same joke, you know, but upping the ante a little bit, like saying, you know, a trans wedding. Or, one big point I want to make about this is that when I read the editorial that they're going to be censoring, at least particularly with gay themes, I realize that particularly with identity, they attack individuals a lot on the show. Like, they will go specifically towards, you know, these pop referenced celebrities and some that are off the radar too, and really pick at them, which is, I think, a little bit more specific and meaner than going after an entire culture or group of people. But we still find that very funny, and we'll all laugh at, you know, them making fun of Cher or making fun of someone's alcoholism, or you know, someone that has hit rock bottom, you know, in their career.
Well, let's get our only break of the hour. We've got more clips to share with you, and then we'll come back to some of your phone calls. We've got some listener feedback on the subject of where we draw lines in comedy as comedy evolves. And before the hour's up, I do want our guest to weigh in on whether what's the name of that podcast, the Trigonometry, where the host of Trigonometry says, you know, nothing's allowed to be funny anymore. Which is what I often think, you know, sort of straight white guys think when they hear, you know, like the old targets of their humor, you know, that changing. I don't fully think it's fair to say that, well, I guess nothing is going to be funny. But I do think it's fair to ask where we move the lines and why. And that's what we're talking about this hour with our guests. It's a great panel. Let's get that only break. We'll come back to some of your feedback next. I'm Evan Dawson. Wednesday on The Next Connections. A conversation about police accountability in Rochester. You've heard a number of different proposals. We sit down with members of Rochester City Council to discuss what they would like to see happen. Then in our second hour, a conversation about sustainability, not just federal policy, but what we do hour to hour all throughout the day that impacts climate. We'll talk about it. Welcome back to Connections. Our guests talking about Family Guy, the television show, the long-running show, their decision not to do what they call gay jokes anymore. And the producer saying society's changed and they've changed. And they want to be more sensitive to that. And they don't think certain things are funny the way they used to. We're talking to Mrs. Kasia Davis and Darian Lake, drag celebrities and very funny people in their own right with us, along with Yolanda Smiles, a stand-up comedian, co-founder of the Rock Awards. Sarah Shipley is an improviser and stand-up comedian, and on the line with us is a former Rochesterian who is struggling with the snow in Hawaii from Honolulu. It's Jeff Andrews, a comedian a performer, a sketch writer, and a teacher. So it's a great panel, and I want to get some of the feedback from our audience. So let's go to your phone calls now. Walt in Auburn is first. Go ahead, Walt.
Hi, everybody. Fascinating topic. My question is there a difference between joking about gays or joking about homophobia? And I wanted to ask that in the context of something that happened to me when I was a kid in the 60s. Maybe I was 7 or 8 years old, and my dad, who had been in the war, World War II, he said to me, and this is tragic and it's awful, and he said, if you ever become a homosexual, I will disown you. Mm-hmm. And this was terrifying, and I didn't know what that was because I didn't know what homosexuality was. So I said to him, what does it mean to be disowned? And he told me all about that. And I thought, this is terrible. So later, I am walking around in a world where there's something I could be that could earn that terrible fate. And so imagine to me a weird kind of painful comedy when I raised my hand in class and asked the teacher, what is a homosexual? And everyone else is being raised to be homophobic. And then the labeling begins and the piling on. So to me, when I listen to the humor in Seinfeld or other comedians who are getting called out on, a lot of times I think they're making jokes about homophobia. And that is a very powerful force for many males who are raised to be afraid of something they don't even understand. So that was what I was wondering about.
Okay. Well, thank you. I'll start with Kasia. Go ahead.
I'll tell you, it's an interesting comment or question. I have a show that is the story of my life. I was disowned for coming out to my parents. And in that show, it's a mixture of the seriousness of that topic and a lot of laughter through it. And in the end, there is forgiveness and there's learning that my father in particular eventually came to a place. So I think, you know, talking about those very difficult types of scenarios and situations and finding the humor within those. For instance, when I came out to my dad, and I said that I was gay, he said, "You're not gay, you're just divorced." You know, what? What does that mean? So, you know, there's laughter in there, in his reaction. It's life. And I think that if you do talk about it, as you were mentioning, some of the difficult things that have happened to us and find humor in it, mm-hmm. People will relate to that, no matter what the subject.
Darian?
Yeah, I've gone through that as well. Like, when I came out of the closet, it was sort of my parents found my bag of drag, and they had no idea what was going on. So the fear for them sort of pushed them away from me, and I was invited to leave the house. And I think that's where I sort of started developing, like, how can I find a way to move on from this and from this hurt. And I was, gosh, I don't even know where I'm going with this. It just, for me, I had to somehow still make people like me because of what a horrible thing I must have been by being a gay person. Mm. And I still thought of, you know, being gay as a bad quality. And so I had to find a different way to make people like me because of it. Now, with, of course, age and everything, I realized that, you know, it's a great quality. And, like, I think even on Will and Grace, they're like, you know, when I think it was Will's mother found out he was gay, she's like, "Don't worry, he's going to keep you away from overhead lighting and, like, put you in the nicest clothes." And, you know, it's a stereotype about gays, but it's something that we can sort of feel comfortable about and show our good qualities of why we are good people. We're just people. So.
Yeah, Jeff, I think there's something interesting in the caller's question saying, are we seeing jokes that are poking fun at being gay or poking fun at actually of homophobia? In a minute, I'm going to get to a clip. But Jeff, I haven't seen a whole lot of Family Guy, but I remember a scene in which Peter and who is his African-American friend? Cleveland? Is that?
Yes.
Cleveland.
Yeah, yeah.
Are at the country club, a golf course, and they're playing golf, and there's a couple of other white guys walking by, and one says, "Oh, look, a black guy." And the other guy goes, "Oh, neat." Like the joke is not, it's like bad to be black. The joke is like, look at how much easy racism there is in America's country clubs. Mm-hmm. The joke was on the white people for being idiotic.
Right.
It wasn't on black people. And I think that's kind of part and parcel of what Walt is saying here, is how we distinguish that. How do you view that question, that a joke that might start out looking like, "Oh, this is a gay joke," but it's actually a joke against homophobia?
Well, I'd start off by telling that the caller that I'm pretty sure his father's joke isn't funny. And just because of the context of where it is, and it's just not, funny. So, looking at now, the gay person being the punch of the joke versus being an actual character or keeping the story along or looking into the perspective of how wrong other people are for looking at gays wrong. I think it is the way that Family Guy should be going into comedy and dealing with these topics now is, you know, in that same way of showcasing how funny, you know, white people are on their golf courses. We could do the same way with straight people in their gaps, you know.
Well, so look, can we listen to a couple more clips here? Let's do that now, because what I want to do is I want to listen to the first clip, and then we'll sort of pause, think about that, and then the second clip, does it change anything for you? There's an episode of Family Guy in which a character named Quagmire finds out his father is trans and is having a transition surgery. And so let's listen to the first clip of Quagmire navigating that.
What are you going to name it? Huh? What are you going to name your he-she father-mother?
Knock it off!
Wow, that thing was on there.
How is he, Doc? Is he all right?
No, I'm afraid not. But she's gonna be just fine.
Oh my God!
What do you think, boys?
Okay, kids, Mr. Quagmire and his dad, his friend are coming over soon for dinner. So remember, Chris, no staring. And Meg, you know how it is to be different, so be very nice. Well, hi, you guys. I'm so glad you could come over.
Everyone, I'd like you to meet Ida.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, Ida.
What's up?
I made a crumble.
Oh, how thoughtful. Throw it away in the outside garbage.
Okay, so there's your first clip. And now let's listen to where things end up with Ida and Quagmire in that same episode. Let's listen.
My dad talking about decorating in women's clothing? All I've talked about for years with these people is what a war hero you were.
And I was. I'm changing my future, not my past.
Oh, yeah? What about my future? Huh? I don't even know what to call you. My dad? My other mother? My friend who pees sitting down but can also palm a basketball?
What about Ida?
Oh, no. Man, you know, this is too hard. You know, you're asking me to accept an awful lot. I don't know if I can do this.
I understand. I had the advantage of thinking about this for years. For me, it was easy. Do I want to be happy the rest of my life or miserable?
So now you're happy and I'm miserable.
I see. I'm sorry you feel that way.
All right, that's Ida and Quagmire in the Family Guy episode after Quagmire's dad's transition. So I'll start with Kasha on that. What do you make of those clips?
Well, I feel like Ida was teaching him that he's being ridiculous, and he was even saying like, I don't know, you know, and he made it more complicated. And Ida says, I just want to be happy, and I've had more time to think about it. So I thought there was some education in there. Mm-hmm. The one comment about throwing the crumble away on the outside garbage made me laugh a little, but it was a little like, oh boy,
kind of gratuitously mean.
It was mean.
Is it mean because of not liking her, or maybe she just started becoming a woman? How good of a cook is she?
Exactly. There's many different levels, but it also made me think of she doesn't know, and somehow she thinks there's something that's wrong with that. Because I think back to my mom, a ridiculous thing that she said. You know, if you go to the gay clubs, don't get on their treadmill because you're going to catch something. You know, like, what are you talking about? You know, like, you're going to catch, you know, AIDS from sweaty treadmills or something to that effect. Like, just ignorance.
No education.
Which was kind of funny that people thought that way back then. We're talking a long time
ago.
Yeah,
and this clip is, like, very honest about what actually does happen in a lot of those situations. So, you know, and the reactions, because the reactions aren't always, oh, okay, well, I support you in your new decision. It's very like, what? Like, I'm sure that if my dad said to me that he was transitioning, I'd be like, what, are you crazy? I'm like, no, I don't accept this. It would take me a long time to even understand it and be like, I've never even saw this coming. So I thought that clip was very honest. So
I also liked, you know what it's like to be different to the other child.
Yes. Oh, Meg.
To Meg. And I was like, oh, that's terrible. But it did make me laugh.
Sarah Shipley, what did you make of those clips?
I think there's some beautiful teachable moments in there. And that is an honest, real situation that I'm sure a lot of people are feeling and struggling with and trying to work through in their family life and their own personal lives and stuff like that. But, you know, when I heard that scene and I didn't read that throw the, you know, dish away as like, oh, that's offensive. I read that as like, that is just such an absurd thing. Like, it's almost part of the teachable moment. Like, this is just, they're highlighting the absurdity in the situation. And I think that's part of the, like, hey, this, you're being ridiculous. So I think that's actually part of, you know, teaching people to be more inclusive and be better people. And it's not, you know, to highlight being hateful, as some people might see it. I thought it was actually part of the process.
Okay, Yolanda?
I agree. It's pretty much sometimes putting a picture right in people's face and letting them see, like, oh, I am being ridiculous. I am being, not thinking, not knowledgeable of the culture and things of that nature. Like, my son, he's 5, and a lot of people didn't know that he struggled with his ABCs. And you would say, you know, people would say, oh, that's the R word. Oh, he's being, but I do a skit on him where I say, you know, I call him slow smart. And people laugh. They'd be like, what do you mean slow smart, Yolanda? I'd be like, well, let me slow down here. Let me explain. Because when you talk to Wesley and you say, how was your day? He said, oh, I have an extraordinary day, mother. And it's like, wait a minute. How do you know how to say extraordinary, but you don't know how to say your ABCs? But I educate people that it's not about how they're learning. It's not about what you think they should be at or what you think they are. It's about them as an individual. You know what I mean? And I think just sometimes putting that picture in front of people's face and letting them see, you have to educate yourself. You have to educate yourself about the person and not be so ridiculous at all the times.
Jeff Andrews, but I had not seen the Family Guy episode where Quagmire's dad has the transition surgery. And so before I went to go see it, I was thinking, boy, this whole show is just going to be jokes about trans is funny. Trans is funny. I did hear a lot more of what I remember being sort of the Blanche and Golden Girls episode where, what is it, Megan McElroy told me her brother was gay? Blanche's brother was gay.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's got to come to terms with that. Now, this is the 80s, but that show feels still very current in some familial relationships where you're confronting something that it's not what you thought. And that, to me, Ida and Quagmire actually sounded a lot like Blanche and her brother there. What did you think, Jeff?
I'm not as in love with Golden Girls as
everyone has
you
a
are.
Right to be wrong. Everyone has a right to be wrong.
So
Jeffrey,
I know I'm gay, but I'm not that gay, right?
Oh my God. Wow.
See, I can't use that joke, right?
No, it's a tough room.
Yeah, it's a tough room. Hey, I would say that a good comedy will play with those same themes over and over again, and until they're no longer, usable. And I think the topic of accepting someone, and someone's new identity is going to always be acceptable for a long time, because it's something that we're, as humans, we're always going to deal with. I hope that they still consider to play with identity and looking at it from other people's perspective rather than just using it as the butt of a joke, but use it as a joke on other people who are judging those who are trying to come to terms with their identity.
Let me get, I'm going to read Tom's question. Tom, I don't have time to fit your call in, but I want to ask our panel, because I think this is a good way to sort of put the final note on the conversation. Tom in Brighton called in to say, so much comedy today is just vulgar and crude and not creative. Well, Jeff Andrews, can you be vulgar and crude and creative? I think you probably can.
Not on the radio.
No. I'm not asking you to do that now, Jeff. I'm asking you, does it miss the mark saying, well, comedy today is just vulgar and crude and not creative? Can you be all of those things?
And some great comedy is all those three things as well. So it really depends on the audience and what they find funny. That's why South Park for a long time was really good before they even did social commentary, was that they were lewd, offensive, and what was the last one?
Creative, yeah.
creative. Yeah, you know, they were doing something different.
All right. Well, how's our panel? Can you be all of those things? Sarah?
I think there's a difference in being crude and all those things just to be those things, or is it a part of the human experience and telling the truth and being real about your comedy? Mm-hmm. I think if you're just doing it to do it, like, that's just, I don't find the appeal in that. But if it's part of the creative process and you're being funny in telling the truth about how, you know, crude and weird the world is, like, that's, there's a difference to that.
Okay, Kasia?
I just think you should know what you're going to see. You know, I think some people come to a show and they think that it's for everybody, not not all comedy is meant to be a blanket comedy for everyone. I think there's you go to attend a certain show, you should know a little bit about what this comic might be like or this subject would be. So I think I think you should do a little internet research first.
Okay, Yolanda?
I agree. I so agree with you on that. It's just totally, you have to know who you're going to see, what type of comic it is, because a lot of us, we are different, we have different styles. I'm known as a blue comic in most stages. So when you come to my shows, you're going to hear about relationships, you're going to hear about sex, you're going to hear a little raunchy. But again, I also can do church shows. But again, majority of what you're going to hear from
what
me.
What churches want a blue show?
I want to come to that show.
I'll clean it up.
And Darian, last thoughts from you. Go ahead.
Yeah, the crudeness can work, but if it constantly stays the same, there's no growth in that. That's
right.
Why South Park did change. So, you know, because there's so much grossness about ourselves and our lives, that can be funny.
I want to thank our panel for bringing a lot of knowledge and great perspective today. That's Darian Lake.
Thank you.
Kasia Davis, Darian and Kasia, you know that they are drag celebrities right here in Rochester. It's great to have you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Check out one of our drag brunches at Edibles Restaurant.
Yes.
Drag brunches at Edibles.
That's right.
Okay. And blue shows at church. Look at all of these things that are happening. Yolanda Smiles, thank you very much for taking the time to be here.
Thank you for having me.
Sarah Shipley, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Jeff Andrews, I was going to say thanks for getting up early. It's not that early. It's 9 o'clock in Hawaii now. Well, thanks anyway, Jeff.
Yeah, mahalo.
Mahalo from Jeff Andrews, Rob Braden, engineer, Megan Mack, producer. I'm Evan Dawson. Have a great afternoon. Talk to you tomorrow on member-supported public radio.